Welcome to another New Zealand Doctor podcast. This is a podcast version of the regular monthly article, The First Time, written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott-Jones. The First Time is a series of articles designed to explore issues that are common but challenging for people new to general practice, and to refresh ideas in old codgers like me. This time we're talking about social media and how we use it in general practice. Firstly, let's define what we mean by social media. Social media are websites or applications that allow users to share content or engage in social networking. They're an important part of everyday life for the majority of New Zealanders. Over a million of us share stuff online every week. We use Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, along with various blogs and comments, including the online version of New Zealand Doctor, to impart our opinions and share information and jokes to listen and learn from others. You can follow me at ApodikiGP on Twitter, and recently I've just set up a WordPress blog just to sort of experiment with. Who uses social media these days? In the US, studies show that about a third of patients use Facebook to share information about their own health with others. Health-related searches represent the third highest reported use of the internet behind general searches and email. Patients seeking advice online will still most trust information that they can get from a registered health professional, and despite privacy issues, 47% would be prepared to share online information with a doctor. Now, that's a hell of a lot. There are many GPs around the world who are using websites and social media to communicate with patients. Claire Gerada, the president of the Royal College of GPs in the UK, led a workshop on the use of social media in their conference in Glasgow in 2012. She uses Twitter to share links to important websites and documents and to debate issues and respond to patient concerns. She also provides a text and mobile phone contact service with patients who are from the lowest socioeconomic status in inner city London. This must be one of the groups of patients that we feel most anxious about in terms of their use of our time, but she manages it really well. Richie Roberts, the erstwhile president of Wonka and a rural GP from the USA, maintained contacts with patients as he trekked all over the world using Skype and emails. He passionately tells some of the stories of his patient contacts as he worked in this role. Clinics across the world use social media to maintain a link with patients, disseminate news about their clinic, link information to patients, and patients can be directed to YouTube channels set up to share patient information about how to cope with ill health of all kinds, and LinkedIn to online doctors for asynchronous advice. What does this mean, I hear you say? Well, asynchronous advice is when you are providing the advice, but without the patient actually being there in front of you. Imagine receiving an email or a question, having time to think about it, and then responding to the patient at a slightly later time. Simple. So where do we start? Is it as simple as registering for Twitter and setting up a Facebook page? Certainly you can just do it, but it's probably best to think it through first. The Forrester Group develop a simple framework called POST. P is for people. First, find out what your patients need or will engage with. Ask a few of them when they're in the room. Do a waiting room survey or just ring around. It might be Facebook or Twitter. Your area may be more suited to texts than online services because of access issues. O is for objectives. What do you want to accomplish? Is the goal to tell people things or to listen? Do you want to support patients or collaborate with them? The platform that best suits you will depend on what you want to achieve. And then you'll have to work out how you'll know if you've achieved your goals. S is for strategy, planning for how relationships will change. Imagine the endpoint and how you'll get there. You may want to have the ability to flick useful patient information websites out to specific people, to be able to interact with a group of patients who you trust can reflect on the quality of your care constructively, or just provide a social face to your workplace so people know that you're almost human. T is for technology. Decide what you want. For simple information dissemination, it may be a website or an email list. If you want a sense of community and don't mind some interaction, it may be Facebook or Twitter, or a blog with a comment section. If you want a collaborative interaction to develop a new service, for example, you could try a wiki site. YouTube can be used to direct patients to information or links to other patients who've been prepared to share their stories. But be careful. As always, first you save yourself. The world is changing, perhaps, but even in the 21st century, there's still a requirement for people in positions of responsibility to maintain professional reputation in order to be able to function properly. We need to be mindful of what we tweet and what we post on Facebook, even if we consider these private. In a Swedish study of 13,780 tweets sent from the accounts of medical students and doctors, researchers deemed almost 2% to be unprofessional. And of these, 26 tweets posted by 15 different users, representing about 6.3% of all the accounts analysed in the study, included information that could violate patient privacy. Canadian study involving 682 interprofessional health students found almost half had seen what they considered unprofessional content posted by a colleague on Facebook, and 27% of the students admitted to having posted such material themselves. Even a New Zealand study of recent medical graduates showed that 65% had Facebook accounts, 47% of which were not restricted to friends. This opens up the account for more public scrutiny. 37% revealed users' sexual orientation, 16% revealed their religious views, 43% indicated their relationship status, 46% showed photographs of the users drinking alcohol, with 10% showing images of the users intoxicated. Now, none of these things is illegal or of themselves bringing the profession into disrepute, although one of the graduates was a member of Perverts United, apparently. But they all represent a potential disclosure of information by the doctor to the patient, which could affect the doctor-patient relationship. All this information could legitimately be given to the patient in a therapeutic relationship with the doctor. But when it's freely available online, it can be taken by the patient with an unpredictable effect on patient care. The picture of my 40th birthday skinny dip into the waters of the Bay of Plenty is not one I want to be flicking through the mind of the patient I'm counselling on obesity management, for example. Not that there is a picture, because it wasn't me, officer. Anyway, have fun. Be careful out there. This brings an end to this New Zealand Doctor podcast. Remember to look out for more on iTunes. Have a look at the New Zealand Doctor website. Even subscribe to the paper at newzealanddoctor.co.nz. And follow me on Twitter at ApodikiGP.